Hey, it's Mike Allen from 95.5 PLJ, and you're about to hear the exclusive audio from our latest Stage 17 performance. For the full video, head over to stage17nyc.com.
Exclusive interviews and performances from the world of music, movies, politics, and more. All on one stage. From the heart of New York City, Cumulus Media presents Live from Stage 17.
Welcome to Stage 17. I'm Mike Allen, Lindsay Sterling. It's 95.5 PLJ. Like we were just talking about, it's been a year since we saw you last. And I would be, I always get in trouble with women, whether it be my wife, my sister, my mom.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
No, something's different about you since the last time I
saw you. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, I went blonde. So observant.
See, well,
I'm very impressed because it has been a year.
So that's either a good thing or a bad thing. I just got myself in trouble because they're going to be like, Lindsay Sterling changed her hair. How come you didn't notice that I got a haircut? But we actually have a photo up right now on the stream of our original photo of your red hair, because that was the one thing. I'll show it to you. I tweeted it yesterday. The one thing when you thought about Lindsay Sterling was the, I'm not going to call it crazy hair, but you had very unique hair.
Very vibrant, yeah.
So what was the change?
Let's see, the change
in your mindset? You had a little blonde in there.
Yeah, I had my little hint of blonde, like my streak. It was like my superpower streak, you know?
Was it just one day you were like, red's done?
You know, sometimes you just need a change. I was a brunette, actually, when I first started my music career, and so the red was like a big change, and I can't get my hair to grow. I keep trying to grow it, and it won't grow, so if I want to change, you
got
to color it.
Got it. So that was, that's, the, like, that's just the reason
just
we're going with?
Yeah, I just need to switch
it
up.
Well, I think you look great, and the blonde suits you well.
Thank you.
Also, last time you were here, you had a pooch in
I had my dog. I almost brought her this trip. She goes most places with me.
Luna?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You're so good. You look this up. You studied.
I did study.
I appreciate
that.
But I
do remember Luna. Is it two named dog? Luna?
Luna Latte.
Luna Latte.
Yeah.
See, I didn't go that far, but I remember it being a two-part dog. But I do remember after the interview you were here last time, we sat in my office, we listened to about, I want to say, 6 or 7 tracks, and the one track that stood out to me, and I was talking to Dale about this 3 days ago, was, I go, are you ever going to release the Zed track?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that's the next song.
We handed it to you.
So tell me about the difference now. You're in this new album, Brave Enough. Your past albums, it was just a Lindsay Sterling album, and now all of a sudden, everybody wants to collaborate with you. They want to feature on the album. What was the differences between the two albums? Now you have all these big voices on your album and producers.
Well, I would say one of the biggest differences is my first two albums were almost entirely instrumental, and I was very comfortable in that writing state. You know, I feel like that's where I thrive, is writing instrumental music. And so to go in the studio and really think, what do I want to say? Like, I get to say very specific things. And so writing lyrics was kind of a new territory for me, but it was really a cool opportunity, a different way to write, where I didn't have to just play off of emotions through musicality. I could actually say what I wanted to say. And so it was really cool, a new challenge, but then it was also really fun to then find the voices for the songs. And, you know, some people came to me, some people we reached out to, and I really got to work with some people that were like bucket list, you know, for me. Like, I mean, Rivers Cuomo, Weezer was my favorite band in high school. And so that was just, you know, I was like a little girl when he recorded the, you know, the track. I was so excited. You know, and there was several moments like that for me on this album.
So, I mean, Christina Perry, ZZ
yes.
Ward,
mm-hmm.
Andrew McMahon,
yes.
Dan and Shay.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like now? I dip my toes in the country station here at Nash FM 94.7. And Shay Mooney and I had babies 4 days apart. So we've become pretty friendly around our babies. And I was talking to him yesterday about working with you. And he said it was just incredible because it's not a country record.
No.
But you hear his voice. His voice is so unique, one of the most unique voices right now in country music, and you're able to make it yours.
Well, you know, it's funny. I wrote that song, Hope, like with the hope. I wanted a country artist to sing it. And, you know, and I love Dan and Shay. Like, they are so amazing. And so it was really cool when they came through to do the song.
So you're talking like you have pop artists, you have country artists. Is there an artist now? And you have Lecrae.
Yeah, we got a little bit of rap on there.
So is there an artist that you are looking now down the road to the next album that the question we ask everybody is, do you want to do an EDM song? We can't ask you that because you're doing EDM, but is there an artist that you're looking down the road, I have to work with that artist?
Ooh, definitely. There's so many. That's the thing. That's the problem. You know, I love collaboration. I would love to work with Pink someday or you know, Ellie Goulding or Hayley Williams from Paramore. I love, like, I guess obviously, like, really strong, empowering, like, rocker females. So yeah.
Well, let's talk about the female aspect too. I just saw an interview you did with a EDM magazine talking about empowering women through EDM, and you're looking at all the rise of EDM now in popular culture, and you're not seeing many women. Mm-hmm. You're seeing, you know, duos, you're seeing DJs, producers, but then you come along and you're taking the, you know, you're showing that women are in EDM, and we're here to stay. Like, I'm a woman. We're here to stay. You're here to stay. Talk about that more, about just women in this format.
Yeah.
The rise through for women.
Well, I think in technology in general, women are starting to rise. And I think we see that a lot through YouTube. You know, that's kind of a tech-driven community because YouTubers have to learn the technology there. They have to learn how to work all the social medias and how to use the analytics and all the girls edit their own, or girls, everybody on YouTube pretty much started by editing everything and doing everything themselves. And so I think through YouTube alone, you can see this huge rise of women in tech. And I think that's going to spill over into other areas. And that's what it is when women get more comfortable with technology, that's what will allow them to be editors, DJs, you know, producers. And there is a demand. I think for women in every art form and for men in every art form, because they, you know, when I work with women writers or men writers, it brings a different kind of energy. And I like both. And so I think it's really cool that there is becoming options for both.
And you have producer credit on all these tracks, I think, right? What are you doing technically on these albums, on these records?
So I'm actually not myself an amazing producer. So I'm with the producer the whole time as we write it and as we tweak it, and I'm saying, ooh, add this little twinkly sound. So I'm just kind of the captain of the ship, is there kind of steering the ship, I guess you could say.
So you're not going in there laying down the violin track and going home and having dinner. You're there.
Oh,
you're
definitely
in,
not. I'm
you're
sitting there
the whole time.
The whole time. You know, maybe like add a, you know, a filter to that, or let's try, you know, brightening it in the mix. You know, I'm very, very involved, which is fun. I didn't realize that was unique actually until like this recent album. It's like these tracks are my little babies, and when I go perform them live, it makes it so special because I saw the entire process and was part of the whole process of making it.
Well, the album's Brave Enough. The singles Love's Just Enough, Love's Just the Feeling, rather. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about Rudy now. Rudy and Zed were on this track. Rudy is Irish.
Yes.
And did you meet her in the States? Did you meet her in Ireland? Because she moved here, right?
Yes, she moved here. I met her in the States, and you know, it's really awesome. I actually met her through the executive producer of the album. We were searching for the right voice to sing that song, and it's a big song. Not just anybody.
Oh, strong vocals.
Yeah, not just anybody can sing that song. And this I know because we actually had several people lay down, you know, just a rough demo of it, and you know, it just wasn't a right fit until Rudy came in, and previously, she's been known as a writer. She's an incredible writer. And it was just like the perfect storm because she's just ready to start her own career as an artist, not just as a writer. And she has her own music coming out soon. And, you know, I really love being a part of that story, you know, in even just a small way that we got to work together. And, you know, someday she's going to be massively huge herself as an artist, not just as a writer.
And that music video for Love's Just a Feeling is... See, I'm going to try to make my words here right. I'm a big fan of time travel.
Oh, really?
Okay, so I understand, like, I understand time travel. Like, I understand the...
So what you're saying is you're a sci-fi nerd.
But I'm not. Because okay. And Gillette's looking at me because I don't. I don't like this. I don't like the sci-fi channel. He'll talk about sci-fi all day, and I've never seen Star Wars.
Oh, okay, so you're not a sci-fi.
I'm not a sci-fi
nerd.
Not at all. But I understand the idea of time travel. So in this music video, you're doing time travel, but then you freaked me out with the robots at the end.
Oh,
I was all in. I was all in the whole time.
Oh,
and then
man.
The rose with the robots.
They're like the little robots are like the little pets or the little, you know, of the futuristic guy. You know, he sends the robots to
But it's an unbelievable love,
love
story. And yeah. If you don't understand the song the first time you hear it, the video really just brings it to life with the just unbelievable song. Let's talk about the Billboard Music Awards.
Aha.
You're no stranger to the Billboard Music Awards. You came back. You won in 2015. And then you're back in 2017, Vegas, a couple weeks ago. You went to the show already a winner.
Isn't that funny? They told some of us beforehand, you know, right before the show even started, they let us know that we won. So I was like, oh, well, I get to just have fun now. I just get to wear a pretty dress and like go enjoy myself, I guess, which was awesome.
I know the answer to this, but where did you find out that you won?
Oh, I was actually at a play, and it was like the day before the Billboard Awards. I was going to see Jersey Boys, and they're like, you won. And by the way, you have to film an acceptance speech like right now. And so I was like, well, I'm at a play. So I went into the bathroom and I filmed it in a bathroom stall, and there's like toilets flushing and it was a little bit awkward. You know, I came out and this lady's like, did you really just win a Billboard Award? And I was like, yeah, I did.
Well, memorable.
Memorable. I'll and never forget it.
Your date was your mom?
Yes, my mom came with me to the award show, which was so fun. I've brought my sister in the past and, you know, last time. And so it's always fun to bring your family along because, I don't know, it makes it a new experience when you bring someone that's never been to something like that. And it reminds me, like, wow, this is really special and very unique and very strange, you know, that all these celebrities are just walking around, you know, like all these A-listers are just everywhere. I was like, it reminds you that this is a really special event.
And when you're in Vegas with mom, with family, what are you doing in Vegas? What's the nightlife like?
We were seeing Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
I love Celine Dion.
She has a residency there in Vegas.
She does.
And so people get concerned when a big superstar artist has a residency that it's not going to be the same show. Were you blown away?
I was blown away. Okay, the thing that I loved the most was that I think it was like her 1,000th and 50th show or something ridiculous like that. And yet it was not rote. You could tell she still like took time to chat with the audience. She's telling random jokes. The show actually went like 20 minutes over because she talked so much. And so here's an artist that still loves to be on stage. And I love that.
That's great. Something to look forward to. Exactly. You have a residency in Vegas.
Oh, that is my goal. I someday want to have a residency in Vegas.
Well, we can make that happen, right?
You can.
Gillette? Yeah, we're going to make it happen.
Oh, sweet.
We'll sign the contract. Not only on stage, but now you've kind of dabbled into film. And YouTube is a big part of what you do. Mm-hmm. And YouTube took on this project, Brave Enough Film.
Yes.
What was it like? So now you've done both. You've produced an album, and now you've gone in front of the screen, and you've also produced a film. Mm-hmm. Similarities, differences, what's the feeling on that?
Well, you know, I'm actually very comfortable kind of in the director's chair / producing role of film, even probably more so, or at least as much as music, because I actually went to film school. My original goal a long time ago was I wanted to be a director. So I went to film school. I help direct all my music videos. I've directed a couple on my own, one of which was Love's Just a Feeling. And so it seemed like a very natural next step. I was like, well, I want to now tell my story in a very real way. And, I had an amazing team behind the film. I got to work with the Magical Elves and YouTube Red to put it together. And it's a little different, though, when you're working on your own story. It's so close to home. It's really hard to pull back the lens and see the picture for what it is when it's, you know, you out there, like, you know, pouring your heart out. Yeah. So it was a really special experience. So I'm really happy I did it. It came out so differently than I had first intended on it being, but I think for the better.
And the whole from start to finish, it's an emotional roller coaster. You have your highs and your lows. Did you find was it a hard time for you to find out what I should cut out, what I should keep in, what's too much, what's too little?
Yeah.
What's the struggle like there?
Well, you know, I insisted on helping edit it. So I did all the live show editing. Everything you see in there that's live performance, I edited. And then I let them take the first pass edit at all of the interview and the story and everything like that. And so it kind of was a nice gauge to help me see what an outside perspective would feel. Because there were some moments where I was like, they put that in there? Do I really want to put that moment in there? You know, but sometimes I lack the ability to trust other people's opinion because I just have such a clear vision. But in this case, I did allow them to put some of the things that were a little very vulnerable for me to put in there. And I'm in the end not mad at that.
And obviously your rise to fame was with the YouTube platform. So to have it come full circle and have the film on YouTube and to see the reaction of your fans must be incredible.
Of course. And, you know, so much so my career is where it is because of YouTube, and they've supported me from the beginning and all along the way. And so it was a really cool, like, full circle moment to do that film with YouTube to share the whole story that we kind of built together.
And the Lindsay Sterling brand doesn't end at film. Now we're moving into comic books.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on a comic book.
Tell me about that.
Just beginning stages. Right now we're kind of fleshing out the story. We're fleshing out the characters. And, you know, read the first episode, you know, the other day. And I'm really excited to kind of... And it's, you know, allows me to take liberties and go into places I've never been. Because with a comic book, you don't have limitations of, like, budget. Like, well, Lindsay, sorry, we can't film your music video in outer space. Like, that's just not going to happen. But... a comic book, you can go wherever you want. You can live inside a volcano if you want. You know?
Are you the lead character?
It's a character loosely based on me. Her name's not Lindsay, but she does play the violin and look very similar to me. So it's a character based.
Is there a dog character?
There is, and that character's named Luna.
Very cool. Do we have a name for the comic book?
Not yet. I haven't figured out the exact name.
So we've done music, film, comic book. What's next?
Christmas. I'm actually just starting to kind of map out my Christmas album for this year. And
so it's not like fragrance. We're not going Lindsay Sterling, brave enough.
If you want to be brave, be brave.
Yeah, I get 10% of that, by the way.
I like it.
10% of Brave Enough by Lindsay Sterling.
That's right. Scratch Christmas. Let's do Brave Enough.
5% for Brave Enough for him. Anyway, Lindsay Sterling, so much exciting stuff. Love the new song, love the new album. I heard a little bit before, I think it was even mastered. So
you
this
did.
Is a full circle moment for us too.
There you go.
So Lindsay, thank you so much for hanging out.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
It's New York's 95.5 BLJ, Lindsay Sterling, Stage 17.
Thanks for listening to Live from Stage 17. We hope you enjoyed the show. Now do this, head over to stage17nyc.com for more exclusive Stage 17 content.